Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. How the heck are you today? I gotta start with an email before I go to my guest. It's a good one, and I love getting the interaction from you is always wonderful. Let me start with this. This email came in from Bob Sanders. It says, Mark, just finished listening to Monday's show. Another great show as usual. One thing I heard hit me as not quite right. You said that Chicago didn't hit 400 homicides until Thanksgiving in 2016. That just didn't seem right because that would mean that they would have had over 300 murders in little over a month. I went back and researched this and found that Chicago hit 500 murders over the Labor Day weekend. See the link below. And Bob was kind enough to include a USA Today link, which I've seen previously, of course. Not sure where you got your information, but seems that you were mistaken. Hope you don't take this as me trying to call you out, because that's not the case. Just want to make sure the casual listener gets the correct information. Keep doing what you do, because Lord knows America needs your voice. Watch your six, Bob Sanders in Bartlett, Tennessee. So I want to make a clarification. I got that, and I thought, okay, I got to go back and listen to that, because I covered that topic myself with you on Monday, and I covered it on the Sunday Monster Cast with A.W.R. Hawkins over at Breitbart News myself. And I want to read something from you here. Let's go ahead and copy this. Here we go. Because I was going right to a Chicago Tribune piece. And as you know, I've been following the Chicago murder scorecard for nearly a decade on this program. The piece that I used that he is referring to that he heard me talk about was from the Chicago Tribune, dated July 28th, just days ago. More people dying from gunshot wounds as Chicago marks 400 homicides. Line one from this piece. 4 years ago, Chicago didn't record 400 homicides until just before Thanksgiving Day. The city has already passed that mark this year. Chicago is on pace to have a deadlier year than 2016, when gun violence reached levels not seen in 20 years, according to data kept by the Tribune. Now, that's been my running source, the Chicago Tribune, for years. I went back and I listened to the broadcast that he was referring to, and lo and behold, I did not mention the 4 years ago part from the Chicago Tribune. So I brain farted and skipped right to it and went to the headline and then into the meat of the story regarding 2016 at 400 homicides last week. So I want to issue that clarification. That was confusing, and I want to thank Bob for bringing that to my attention. That's what I love about Armed American Radio listeners, man. You cats are astute. You've got it going on. If you catch something like that, and it will happen from time to time, by all means, you're not calling me out. This is a family here. I love the interaction. Hey, Mark, you said this. I think you meant that. By all means, shoot me an email, mark@armedamericanradio.org, because the numbers we give out here are extremely important. And I glanced over that and missed it. So I just want you to know, as a listener, that when I got Bob's email, I immediately went to John Lott and immediately went to A.W.R. Hawkins for clarification, and lo and behold, found out, because A.W.R. Hawkins also mentioned, and I did reference his piece as well, that 4 years ago, as he put in his piece also. So we go right smack to the heavy hitters who are writing about this stuff, so I apologize for leaving that section out. I went from the headline right down into the meat and into the 2016 and 2017 numbers and kind of glossed over and did not mention that 4 years ago part. So thank you, Bob Sanders in Bartlett, Tennessee, for being on your toes and catching that and giving me the opportunity to correct that and clarify what those numbers are. So let me just, for the sake of telling that over again and giving you the right information without leaving anything out, Chicago didn't record 400 homicides until just before Thanksgiving 4 years ago. This year, the city has already passed that mark as of July 28th, the number that they accumulated 4 years ago on Thanksgiving Day. From the Chicago Tribune, Chicago is on pace to have a deadlier year than 2016 when gun violence reached levels not seen in 20 years, according to the data kept by the Tribune. While fewer people have been shot this year, more of them are dying from their wounds. That's direct from the Chicago Tribune, and I will tell you that that is my main source. Now, there are other sources out there keeping tabs on Chicago numbers. One of them has a name that I can't really mention on the air, but you can find it, heyblank.com. Go look it up. You'll find it if you want to. But the numbers match part and parcel. I've seen a couple, give and take a day. I mean, the Chicago Tribune can't get to it as fast as some of these other websites can, I think. So what happens is you've got numbers in there that are being hit at the Chicago mark as murders are occurring. Some people die, and the numbers aren't reported until later. The fact that we even have to have this conversation about it, the streets of an American city, is disgusting and disturbing. But as long as you have gun controllers like Emmanuel in there and guys that think like de Blasio in there, we're going to go there with my next guest in just a moment also. This is going to continue to happen. So, Bob Sanders, thanks much for the email. Do appreciate it and the opportunity to clarify it. If you catch something, Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Love the interaction with each and every single one of you. Let's go to my next guest, only guest for the day today, Dave Workman, Liberty Park Press, The Gun Mag, working over at the Second Amendment Foundation offices, CCRKBA in beautiful Bellevue, Washington. Been there, can say that, seen it, done it. It's an awesome place. Dave Workman, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. This is an interesting thing that you're bringing up. Quite frankly, I keep tabs with the Chicago Sun-Times' Homicide Watch,
right,
which is a just a remarkable piece of journalism, and I'm not kidding about that. Whatever else the Sun-Times does or the Chicago Tribune does, when they keep track of the mayhem and carnage that's going on in their city, they're doing their jobs as journalists. And, you know, good for those guys, because that's nuts and bolts journalism. And that brings us around to the subject that you asked me to talk about today, which was the lawsuit that I just won against the city of Seattle.
That's let me say that again. Let me ask you to say that one more time. The lawsuit who won?
That I won along with the Second Amendment Foundation against the city of Seattle. I was wearing my hat as a career journalist last year when I became a plaintiff in a complaint against the city for withholding revenue figures on its gun violence tax that was adopted back in 2015, almost 2 years ago today. And because I'm the editor of the senior editor of the Gun Mag and the Liberty Park Press, and I also write for a conservative firing line, I felt that the public had a right to know this. And I learned that way back in journalism school about 1,000 years ago when I had to fight dinosaurs to get to class. And this, it's a textbook case of a city violating the Public Records Act. At least that was my view, and apparently the judge saw it my way. So last spring, we'll go through a little history here real quickly. Last spring, I filed a PRA request, Public Records Act request, with the city to ask what their first quarter's revenue figure was, and the city wouldn't give me the information. And they argued that to do so would violate the privacy of the small number of gun retailers in the city, because they'd be disclosing their tax revenue information. And, you know, I can kind of see that, so I revised the request and made it absolutely clear that I was not interested in individual tax returns. I just wanted an aggregate figure, a total revenue figure. And they still declined to do that. So I talked with Alan Gottlieb, who is well known to your audience, and he's a good friend of yours. He's also the publisher of thegunmag.com, which used to be Gun Week. And we chatted about this over the course of, I don't know, a week or so, maybe off and on. And finally, we got in touch with the attorneys that have represented the Second Amendment Foundation in the past and are currently representing SAF and the NRA and the National Shooting Sports Foundation in their lawsuit against the gun tax. He said, well, you know, time for some legal action. So we filed a lawsuit, and this was filed in September of last year. It went through all the motions that you have to go through in a civil complaint, Finally, last Friday, in a ruling from the bench, Judge Lori K. Smith at King County Superior Court ruled in our favor.
All right, now let me stop you there. Let me stop you right there. She ruled. The judge ruled in your favor. We're getting ready to take a break, so I want to stop there. This tax, for those who might not be aware, and you've heard us discuss it on the show, so just, you know, real quick crib note version, $25 tax per gun sold inside Seattle city limits, and the round, I think, was 2 to 5 cents per round of ammunition. In their effort, they claim to use that money on the backs of law-abiding citizens to stop, quote-unquote, gun violence. This is the suit we're talking about. When we come back, Dave Workman will pick up from right where he left off. The judge ruled in his favor. Don't go away.
I'm sure you know by now that I'm a proud supporter of the United States Concealed Carry Association, the first and largest organization dedicated to protecting responsible gun owners before, during, and after a self-defense incident. And in honor of the upcoming 4th of July holiday, the USCCA is celebrating our forefathers and our Second Amendment Great American Giveaway. Five lucky winners will receive $1,776 to buy the gun and ammo of their choice. You'll finally be able to get that gun you've been dreaming about and still have money left over to buy all the ammo you need to break it in. And instead of just drawing one winner, there's five. Just visit defendthem.com to enter. Your entry to win $1,776 for guns and ammo is quick, simple, and free. Just go to defendthem.com right now. And if you're carrying a gun without protection, make sure you check out what they have to offer. There's truly nothing else out there like it. That's defendthem.com to get your five chances to win.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to 1of4guns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Back in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense studios with you, I'm talking with a good friend and great guy. And believe me when I tell you, a really good friend of yours, too. Whether you've read anything Dave has written, and you more than likely have, I can promise you that Dave Workman from the Gun Mag and Liberty Park Press and working over in the offices in Bellevue with Second Amendment Foundation, sometimes you hear us say SAF. When you hear that, those of you new listeners, SAF is the acronym for Second Amendment Foundation. Just so you know, I don't want you to get confused there, okay? I actually had a couple emails, people wanting to know what that was. SAF, Second Amendment Foundation. Dave Workman, you sued the city to get the aggregate numbers a year and a half into this. They rebuffed you. You won the case. That's where you left off. Take it away.
Well, it was an interesting case because it's been kind of ignored by the local press, except now they're starting to pick up on it. Because this is an important thing for the First Amendment. That's really what it's always been about with me. This is a First Amendment textbook case. The public has a right to know what's happening with its tax money. And I say that because the city, since it's being sued by SAF, NRA, and the National Shooting Sports Foundation over the gun tax, hasn't spent any of that tax revenue. Instead, they took reportedly $275,000 out of the city's general fund to launch this gun violence research slash reduction effort. And that's
okay. Wait, hold it, hold it. Let me get clarification here.
All right.
They took $275,000 out of the city's general fund to start the program.
Yeah.
To study and implement the program before a dime was collected.
No, this was after the tax was being collected, but they
okay.
weren't spending any of this tax revenue. Because, see, in the event that they lose, they're going to have to give that money back.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they wanted to start this program. The anti-gun mayor, Ed Murray, in Seattle, and his really anti-gun city council, this is one of those things where people in favor of gun control, they want symbolism over substance, and it's a symbolic thing to launch to do a study. You know, if you ever want to waste a whole lot of taxpayers' money, start a study on something. Eventually they'll come back, well, we need further study on this, but this is what we found so far. And so they took this money, and as I said, this put every taxpayer in the city on the playing field because they all sort of contributed to what this program has become, which is a research and violence reduction thing. It hasn't worked, obviously, because we've had more shootings in Seattle this year than last year, and evidently the people that this gun violence effort is aimed at, they haven't read the newspapers because they keep shooting each other. So, bringing this forward, we've been in court, represented by Steve Fogg and David Andrews, I think his name is, two really good attorneys who've worked on this sort of thing in the past. They actually represented SAF and the NRA in an earlier lawsuit against the city to prevent a gun ban in city park property. That was about 5 years ago. This time around, I explained it to them, and they made damn sure that this was in all the court filings and the documents, that I am a career journalist. I'm a working journalist. That's what I do. That's what I've always done. That's what, the hat I primarily wear around here. When I came on board 17 years ago, it was primarily as the senior editor of Gun Week, which has become the Gun Mag. And I was also, and still am, the communications director for the Citizens Committee. But I think of myself as a working journalist, and because the public does have a right to know this stuff, and nobody seems to tell the gun side of this gun control story. There's a big side to that. You know, you do it. You're a broadcast journalist. And our good friend Tom Gresham, he does it. But there are really a handful of people out there who are working, practicing journalists that really cover this story from the perspective of the firearms owner. And that's what I do. And that's why I think that my readers, and certainly your listeners, would be interested in how much money the city has collected. And the public has a right to know this stuff.
Well, they have a – let's kind of bring this back just a little bit. Of course they do, for if not for just one reason. The city of Seattle, you're listening right now in Washington State on a number of stations throughout Washington State right now, were sold a bill of goods. Voters in the city of Seattle particularly were sold a bill of goods that, oh, this is going to be an end-all. We're going to take this money. We're going to confiscate this money from gun dealers who are selling lawful products to law-abiding people who, oh, dare I say, get background checks, Dave, to buy this product, as all gun buyers do at dealers. So we're going to take this money from law-abiding people and off of their backs, out of their wallets, and out of the gun dealer's wallet, because they have to spend money to implement this stuff. And we're going to use it to reduce gun violence. That's the bill that the taxpayer was sold. That's the equation. And then when gun owners want to know where that money's going, or for that matter, how much it even was, the city said, well, no. Because they gave a specific number, didn't they?
They did. And as it turns out, according to discovery and court documents and statements from one of the plaintiffs in the bigger lawsuit, Mike Coombs, who owns Outdoor Emporium, that's the largest gun dealer in the city, he's been paying a little over 80% of the total tax revenue for the past year. And that has come into about $86,000. And he's put this into a document. It's public record now. And if you just break out your pocket calculator and do a little math,
which we did,
can't possibly have brought in, say, more than $810,000. That's a far cry from $300,000 to $500,000.
Yeah, they. When we come back from this break, I know I'm watching the clock now. Shauna, what have we got? 30 seconds or so? Okay, a little bit under 30 seconds. We come back. Let me read you a piece from the Free Beacon and a piece, Dave, that you wrote, Liberty Park Press. I'm going to kind of jumble it all together and throw these numbers out there, because the city can't possibly do what they said they wanted to do. They got busted. They didn't think they were going to get beat. They didn't think they were going to lose this. And the shenanigans being played by these people are just absolutely, I want to say, you know, I would, but I've seen this for so long. To me, it's just uncanny. It's so hard to wrap your head around. But when you know how these people play pool and what they're up to, this all makes perfect sense as to why also they would want to hide these numbers from you, the taxpayer. When we come back, we'll give the numbers out, and I'll read you some pieces and paraphrase it from our good friend Stephen Gutowski, who was on yesterday, and some of what Dave Workman wrote to kind of put it in perspective. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
All right, I am in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense studios, the safest radio studio in all of America, by the way. I'm sure you probably can surmise that by now. This place ain't for the faint of heart. If you don't like having tools around you that you can use to defend yourself, you should probably go to another radio studio. I can only tell you that much from personal experience. But I'm talking with Dave Workman over at the Gun Mag. Dave is let's just say, the finger on the pulse here on a lot of issues, but particularly this one now. As this story is breaking today, Stephen Gutowski was on the program yesterday to talk about a different issue, because I wanted to bring Dave on to talk about this. But Stephen wrote about this issue, quoted Dave Workman, and quoted Alan Gottlieb, and Fox News picked up the piece today. So we're on top of this story with you as this is unfolding. So it worked out great having Stephen on yesterday, and now Dave on to follow up today. And no doubt this weekend coming up, we'll have the great Alan Gottlieb on to talk about this and other issues this coming weekend on the Monster broadcast. But let me go to Dave, if it's okay with you. Let me just paraphrase some of this stuff. From the Free Beacon, from Stephen Gutowski, our great friend over there: Seattle spent more defending gun tax lawsuit than it collected in revenue from tax. The city has essentially lost money on this scheme because now they have to pay our attorney fees plus a small penalty. The city of Seattle spent more to defend a lawsuit against its tax than it gathered in revenue. King County Superior Court Judge Lori K. Smith ruled in favor of the Second Amendment Foundation on Friday in a Public Records Act suit over the Seattle's refusal to disclose the exact amount of revenue collected through their gun violence tax. Now, let's stop right there. I'll go continue on this, but I want to interject right now from you. Why would they do that? Why would they refuse to give you those numbers in the first place, Dave? Why?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Please don't misunderstand. Well, go ahead. I'm going to say this anyway, and nobody can misunderstand this. The city knows who I am, and they really don't like what I've been writing. That may be part of it, but I think the bigger part of it is, and the one that Alan Gottlieb kind of settled on at the beginning, they collected so much less that it was kind of embarrassing, at least in theory, for them to disclose the amount. They just didn't want to admit that what they collected came in a couple of $100,000 short of what they had pandered to the public when they pushed this thing into law back in 2015. You know, $100,000 or thereabouts, let's be generous, let's say they collected $110,000, $115,000. That is still way short of $300,000 to $500,000.
Not even half. I'm going to add something to that. Number one, yeah, they do know who you are. They've known who you are for a long time. They don't like what you're writing because it is in direct opposition to their agenda, number one. Number two, they didn't want to disclose it, as you just said, because it came in under. But I'm going to also say number three, it also proved you right and them wrong yet again. Look, when it comes to their gun ban agenda, they never cover. This goes right back. I don't know how many times we've talked about it, both on air and off. But the danger here, and it's not just media, but it's all of them, is not what they tell you all the time, but it's what they fail to tell you. Their failing is here, in this case, a refusal to tell you because it doesn't fit their agenda. And yet again, it proves you and Alan Gottlieb and, you know, by default, all of us right and them wrong again. And it's just a slap in their face to their overall agenda. So tremendous work on this and for pressuring them, again, knowing how to use the system the proper way to get this information. So I got to ask this. I know the answer to this, but I have to ask it anyway, and I certainly know how Alan feels about this. But how frustrating is it to you, Dave, after all these years, to have to literally go in here and pull teeth and spend money to get answers from people in a position of authority who have been elected in office who are refusing to give the people who put them there the information they're requesting at tremendous expense and wasted time? This has got to frustrate you no end.
Well, we'll put this in perspective. For a lot of years, a lot of people have not considered me a working journalist. They've considered me a gun rights advocate. And I keep telling, especially other reporters, no, I mean, the guns are my beat. That's what I cover. And I remember back in journalism school, I had this great professor. His name was Bill Johnston. He used to be an editor over at the Lewiston, Idaho Tribune. And one day in his class, he said, I want to remind you guys of something. The job of the press is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I've never forgotten that. And in all the years that I've been pounding a keyboard, and I kept that in perspective because I write about this stuff all the time. I've written about the gun violence tax. I've written about this insane initiative 594 that became a state law here in Washington that demands so-called universal background checks. They sold that as a bill of goods too, as a means of reducing violence. I can't find any evidence that it has prevented a single crime in the state of Washington. And indeed, there have been a couple of mass high-profile shootings in Washington state over the last couple of years since that initiative became law that weren't prevented. And I seem to – I make a habit of writing about this stuff. It's my beat. It's my job. And frustration, to a certain degree. But, you know, I realized going into this profession 40-some years ago that I'm not going to get cooperation from people when they know that I'm about to rip them to pieces in print.
Right.
And, you know, the bureaucrats and politicians don't like that, and they don't like to be proven wrong.
Yeah, well, it's easy for them to be proven wrong. And in the case of the city of Seattle, they've been proven wrong many, many times, particularly along this line, along firearms and firearms rights. They're constantly under attack in Seattle because they're constantly attacking. Let me ask you this. Again, knowing the answer to the question, in all the years you've been writing about guns, have you ever ticked off somebody on the pro-right side because of something you've written? Of course you have.
Yeah, I know I have.
Well, of course. I know, too, but I say that for a reason, because it is your beat. It is what you write about, and you're going to write what you feel regardless of what, let's just go to the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The NRA might think about your words, or for that matter, what Second Amendment Foundation might think about your words, or what this program might think about your words, or what maybe Tom Gresham might think about your words. You're going to write it because you need to write it because you feel it needs to be told in the way you're going to write it. That's journalism. And you're going to do the same thing over here regarding the city of Seattle. The fact of the matter is they're constantly losing this battle. And I say to you guys, but it's not you guys. You represent all of us and the hundreds of thousands of members of Second Amendment Foundation. That's why I got to take the opportunity now to say, hey, join us. I've gotten a couple great emails over the last week from folks who have said, you know what, you pushed my buttons long enough. I'm now a life member of Second Amendment Foundation after hearing you and Alan and Dave. They mentioned you specifically by name. Talk about this stuff. Thanks for what you guys are doing. And, man, I couldn't say it better. Let me close out this segment with this from the Fox News piece today, which was taken, of course, from Stephen Gutowski. But it says the gun rights group filed suit after the city refused to fulfill a public record request from Dave Workman, editor of Second Amendment Foundation, or SAF-owned The Gun Mag. The group said the real revenue numbers revealed in court documents fall short of the city's projections. We are delighted with the outcome of this case. Alan Gottlieb, SAF founder and publisher of The Gun Mag, said it was silly for Seattle to withhold this information, but we're pretty certain why the city did it. The council was told that this tax could generate between $300 and $500,000, but it now appears the city has collected just over $100,000, which is an embarrassing shortfall. The tax works out to $25 per firearm and 2 or 5 cents per round of ammunition, has thus far generated no more than $108,013.04, according to documents. And Dave, as you heard Dave Workman say, Seattle's lawyers revealed that a single gun seller accounted for more than 80% of the gun tax. Michael Coombs, co-owner of Outdoor Emporium. Many of you in that area went somewhere else to buy your guns. Just incredibly crazy stuff. We'll wrap up the show with Dave Workman right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
All right. Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studio. Man, the time just absolutely flies by during this program, does it not? Good heavens. I'm wrapping up this hour with Dave Workman from Liberty Park Press, the Gun Mag, Second Amendment Foundation, CCRKBA, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, based out of Bellevue, Washington, who did, as usual, just incredible work on behalf of all of us as gun owners when he filed for the information from the city of Seattle that they didn't want to give you, which was, you know, let's go out and sell a bill of goods. We're going to stop crime by taxing gun owners. This is what we need. We're going to spend a few hundred thousand dollars to figure out how much we need. Then we're going to blame law-abiding citizens and take their money for it to fix the problem. And, of course, that couldn't be further from the truth. And when Dave and the Second Amendment Foundation wanted to know the answers, the city didn't want to belly up to the bar. So they forced them yet again, and lo and behold, you, law-abiding gun owners, were right once again. Dave, great work. I gotta hand it to you, brother. Really, really good, strong work over there. So good to see Fox News pick up on this stuff. Good to see Stephen write about it. And when Fox picks it up, other outlets pick it up as well. So it's really good to see your mention in there. Thanks a lot on behalf of all gun owners.
Well, that's very kind of you. You know, I wanted to explain something, and you know, don't take this wrong, but yeah, I did something that's going to benefit a lot of people, but I was just doing my job. I've been doing the same job for years, for decades, and nobody likes to go to court. I mean, come on, that's just another expense for the city and for the Second Amendment Foundation that really shouldn't have happened. The city is going to have to pay all of the legal bills for the Second Amendment Foundation's legal action. And when you do the math, as I think Stephen Gutowski did and Alan Gottlieb did, this tax has actually resulted in less than nothing. They've lost money.
Right.
on attorney's fees. They've also lost money on the B&O taxes that went away with a gun shop called Precise Shooter that moved its operation out of Seattle north to the city of Linwood. Now, Sergey Soliniak, who owns that, he's a plaintiff in the big gun tax case. And he was quoted, I think, by one of the local TV stations here not long ago, that he went outside the city, but his customers in the city have followed him. They've just taken their money outside the city, spent it someplace else. And, you know, guess who the loser is? The city of Seattle. And you cannot imagine anything closer to a perfect storm of idiocy, except maybe for Operation Fast and Furious, than what the city of Seattle did with this gun tax. I've seen a lot in my lifetime. And I've covered all kinds of different news stories, school boards and municipal government. And I've been to traffic wrecks, and I've done police junk. And I spent hundreds of hours in police cars early in my career. And I've done all kinds of stuff. And this is one of the craziest stories that I've ever been involved in. I sit here at an age when I really ought to be on a beach someplace with a fishing line tied to my big toe, you know, sucking on a margarita with Jimmy Buffett, and here I am in a court fight with these guys because they don't want to tell the public something that the public has a right to know.
You know what's interesting, Dave? First of all, as much as I agree with you on that statement that you should be, right now I'm kind of glad you're not, and so are gun owners around the country. I hate to tell you that because I'd much rather see you out there, but it's just not time yet. So stay around with us for a little while longer before you do that. But when you do, we're going to give you a huge send-off, okay? That's because of work like this. Look, I'm going to make a bold statement here. I venture to guess, and I can't back this up, but $108,000 is not a lot of money. And under these conditions, in context here, it's chump change. As you said, they've lost a lot of money on this. Implementation studies, what they've got to pay for court costs. And at some point in time, you'd think the city of Seattle, meaning the residents, you, Seattle residents, you're listening to this right now, are going to one day wake up and go, man, come on, cut the crap. Spend my money somewhere else. If you want to be a good progressive, then let the progressives spend their money on other progressive ideas that might make you happy instead of constantly screwing you out of your tax dollars for loser things. But here's the thing. I'm going to bet that if they had not instituted this tax, they'd have made more money on the regular sales tax from the people who left and bought guns elsewhere at $108,000. Could I be right about that?
I think you probably are right about that because Sergey would have kept a Precise Shooter inside the city of Seattle. They would not only have gotten, they'd have gotten the B&O taxes from him. Gun sales, as we all know, are still fairly strong. I know you read in the paper about them being weak and everything since Trump took office. That's really not correct if you check the FBI data and the background check stuff that are related to firearm sales. Firearms sales are still going pretty good, and especially here in the Pacific Northwest. So I think the city of Seattle probably would have been better off had they not adopted this tax. But you've got to remember the mindset of the gun prohibitionist. They think that any time they can, irritate or rub the noses of the gun owners in it, they've won something. They're big on symbolism, very short on substance. And that's been something that I've written about time and again in my career as a gun journalist. And it just astounds me that kind of mindset can still be around here in the 21st century when we know better. But
yeah, look, we both scratch our heads on this. You know, we're going to have a conference together at the Gun Rights Policy Conference talking about a lot of these issues in September. And the reason there's a conference is because of this. You know, It's just,
well, yeah, I'm going to presume that I'll probably be talking to the audience about this legal action because,
sure,
you know, they have a right to know what this was all about, and I'll try to be as honest with them as I possibly can. I didn't really like the idea of doing this, but there was no other way to get this done.
Well, you may very well have stopped it from happening in another dopey city controlled by dopey gun grabbers who now are going to look back at this because of your actions and go, nah, it's not worth it. Look what happened in Seattle. And that's where we give you a huge hats off. So let me, I'm going to run out of time. I've got about a minute, but I want, you wrote this. I want to direct listeners here. Liberty Park Press, you have a piece up today. New federal legislation guarantees Second Amendment. It's wonderful. We're going to be talking about this on the Monster broadcast coming up this week. It could be a long shot so far as odds of passage, but the Second Amendment Guarantee Act, H.R. 3576, is already raising eyebrows. And what it does is what? 30 seconds.
Well, it's going to prevent states from adopting rules or enforcing rules that ban so-called assault weapons or prevent people from owning rifles and shotguns that have certain cosmetic features that make them, quote-unquote, assault weapons. And, you know, I've never understood the silliness behind that either. You know, a gunner is only as good or as bad as the person using it, same as a typewriter.
And, well, and it also, Dave, it also what it does is eliminates the ability of local places like Seattle to pass measures like Cuomo in New York, for example, that are over and above federal regulation, that go farther than federal regulation. So, hey, I got 20 seconds. Did I miss anything? Liberty Park Press? The Gun Mag?
Well,
Liberty
Park Press, The Gun Mag. I do an online thing for American Handgunner called Insider Online and Conservative Firing Line, and we'll wrap this up by saying, hi, Mom.
Thank you very much, because I know she's listening. For those of you who are new listeners on new affiliates, wherever you may be, Dave Workman is my mother's favorite guest, besides me, of course. Dave, thank you for everything that you do. We're going to get up and do it again tomorrow. Lots of fun stuff to cover with you, including some emails I couldn't get to today because of this breaking. Until then, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Don't find yourself in a gun-free zone. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.